welcome those who have come as we remember our father, grandfather, friend, Jim, but also as we hear from God's word about Jesus, and the comfort that all believers have because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have taken your servant, Jim, home to be with yourself in glory. Thank you for this opportunity to grieve together, to encourage one another, to hear from you, to praise your name. Lord, we pray for your blessing, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would grieve not as those who have no hope, but grieve as those who have wonderful hope in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our Great Hymns of the Faith songbook. It's there in front. And we'll sing number 113, The Old Rugged Cross. Number 113 will remain seated, and we'll sing all four stanzas, number 113.
Thank you.
this time, Dan Butte will come speak of some memories that they have.
I feel like a minister doing this. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dan Butte. I'm married to the middle daughter, Sarah. On behalf of the Weaver family, thank you for being here with us today, and welcome to any of those that may be watching on the live stream, especially those that may be from faraway places watching. It means a lot to us. When Dad's health was failing fast, and we knew his time on earth was coming to a close, the questions that no one wants to ask had to be asked. What do you want for your funeral service? I'm told that Dad had two requests. The first one was that he didn't want the message to be about him. I'll get to the second request in a few minutes. So, technically, this is not part of the message. So I'd like to take a few minutes to talk about Dad. James Henry Weaver, Jr. was born April 11, 1943. He was known as James, Jim, Jimmy, Little Jimmy, Grandpa Jim, and Papa. He was a carpenter who worked with two of his brothers for J.H. Weaver and Sons, a business started by his father, James H. Weaver, Sr. They specialized in remodels and additions for commercial and residential projects. He also served in the Michigan National Guard when he was younger. He loved to hunt, fish, trap, ice fish, camp, spend time at the Weaver family cottage, and pretty much anything else outdoors. He used to have a rather large garden and talked about his battle with the creatures that also loved the fact that he loved to garden. He maintained and propagated a huge raspberry patch. Many of you have partaken of that over the years. The picture on the front of your memorial tract is actually of Dad out in a boat at 6 a.m. in the morning on Long Lake. The picture credit goes to Amy and Todd's former pastor, Mark Bergsma. You may have noticed that many of the pictures on display have dead animals in them. That was only a fraction of the pictures in his house of all of his harvests. He was a loving husband to his dear wife, Ruth, for 52 years. He became a widower about 3.5 years ago when his wife succumbed to pancreatic cancer. He was a father to three daughters, Amy, Sarah, and Lisa. Growing up, there were many camping trips made, time spent at the Weaver Cottage. He taught his daughters to hunt fish over the years. Then one by one, his daughters were wooed away to marriage and moved out to start their married lives and have children. He was the oldest of five siblings, Mary, Bob, Steve, and Phil. They lost their youngest brother, Phil, to pancreatic cancer about 1.5 years ago. He was Grandpa, known as Grandpa Jim. To the grandchildren, he loved you, and I know you loved him, just like you loved your Grandma Ruth. Most of you probably learned how to properly tie a fish hook on your fishing line, how to properly bait a hook, many tips on hunting and fishing, and I'm sure some good life advice and mentoring. He had a policy of sorts that if any of his grandchildren hunted and shot their first deer, he would gut it for them, but you better pay close attention because you are expected to do the next one. He loved to hear what was going on in your lives, a new job, going to college, buying or building a house, expecting a child, the details on a fish that was caught or a harvest from hunting. He went to many of your school events or sports, concerts, graduations, weddings, all the things grandparents do. But he was also prayerful and desirous, as was your grandmother, that his grandchildren are believers. This last Sunday, a group of us were at Samaritas around noon to visit Dad. When we had a turn to go into his room, I wasn't prepared for what I saw compared to just the week before. He was in obvious distress. He couldn't lie still. He was wincing in pain. Sarah, Aaron, Maggie, and I were all crying and held his hands. Maggie was especially having a hard time. When Grandpa Jim told her, "It's okay. It's okay. I know your feelings are genuine." So he was trying to comfort Maggie, even though he was suffering. Soon after, when he was able to speak again, he told Aaron and Maggie to follow Christ. I'm sure more of you heard that same thing from Grandpa if you visited him. His desire was to get that message to you before he died. That is what was on his mind. He had four great-grandchildren, with two more on the way. He was a lifelong friend to some of you and a good friend to many of you. That was evident to us when so many of you came to visit many times while he was in the hospital and at Samaritas. Dad was uplifted by those visits, as were we. To those from his church, a special thank you to Reverend Steve Pullman, Elder Mark Klosterman, and his former elder Larry Coutier and his wife Lenora for all their visits and phone calls. Dad was also a believer in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is that important to know? Well, as you heard, he was many things to all of us, but most importantly, his true identity was as a believer in Christ. This was evident in his life. If you knew him, you saw it in him. If you didn't know him, you would discover this very quickly. He lived his life as a life of gratitude for being saved by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That was the second thing Dad wanted at his funeral, to make the message about Christ and how simple salvation really is. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The believer's life won't be simple, but we live it through God's grace. God gives us the grace to go through difficult times. He did it for Dad. He did it for us and continues to do it for us. On Monday, June 3, right around noon, at 81 years old, Dad's earthly struggle was finished. Since that moment, he has been in his heavenly home with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, praising and worshiping for all eternity. He joined his dear wife, his brother Phil, his parents, and all those believers who have gone before. Dad has been given his crown of righteousness. I'd like to conclude by reading the last verse of the song, "Jerusalem the Golden," that was sung at Mom's funeral. It also happens to be my favorite song. It gives a little picture of heaven. O sweet and blessed country, the home of God's elect. O sweet and blessed country that eager hearts expect. Jesus, in mercy, bring us to that dear land of rest, who are with God the Father and Spirit ever blessed. Jesus has taken Dad to that dear land of rest. Amen.
Thank you, Dan. Read a number of passages from Scripture. From Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." From Romans chapter 14, "None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And then from Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son.'" And then the Heidelberg Catechism, which is not scripture, but a faithful summary of scripture. Question and answer one: "What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him." I invite you to take your Bibles. There are Bibles there in the racks in front. We'll turn to John chapter 14. It's found on page 1,100. 146. John 14, we'll read the first 7 verses, but we're going to focus on verse 6. Page 1146. This is where Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." As far as the reading of God's word. The congregation, we've come together this morning to say farewell to Jim. Father, grandfather, brother, friend. In the midst of our grief also, we come together to hear from God's word about how to live with this grief, how to process Jim's death, death in general, how to live from here. By the kindness of God, Jim lived a full life. But Jim did not pin his hopes on his full earthly life. Now, as many lives in our country go, there weren't a lot of twists and turns in Jim's life. What exactly was ailing Jim from time to time? The specifics at the end may not have been clear. He had the overall diagnosis. Things weren't always that simple, though, day to day. Jim liked things simple. It's one thing the family expressed to me repeatedly as we were talking. Jim liked things simple. The most important things in life are simple, even if life itself might not be simple. And he wanted this funeral message to be simple, straightforward. We're going to focus just on one verse, verse 6 there, John 14, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's the most important thing, and it's very simple, very straightforward. Jesus there speaks of a destination, coming to the Father. Now, Jesus isn't talking about our earthly Father here. What Jesus means is the blessedness of being with God and the glory of heaven. I don't know where each one of you is at spiritually. I don't know what relationship you have with your earthly Father or with anyone else, but I can say coming to the Father, that's the true, the deepest longing of every human heart, of how God created man. Coming to the Father, there's hope, there's joy, there's meaning, there's blessing. Our words can't describe how wonderful it is to come to the Father. The simple truth is there's nothing better than to come to the Father. Nothing better. Now, there are lots of other destinations people talk about, people go to. Destinations, well, on one extreme involving drugs and alcohol, we see lifestyles like that. Sensual pleasures, living for the weekend, fun, even work, even family, some treat as a destination. Now, some might think Jim put fishing or hunting or the outdoors as his destination. Now, he enjoyed fishing, he enjoyed the outdoors, it's true. Jim enjoyed family, many other things. Those are all true, but they weren't Jim's destination. Coming to the Father. God was, heaven was, glory was. That's the simple truth. Now, Jim would be the first to admit, though, that he didn't get it all right. Even more, Jim would admit he fell short of this. He sinned. Even though he gladly confessed his destination was heaven, was coming to the Father, he would also confess he said things, he did things that didn't fit with that simple truth. He sinned. People sometimes ignore clear, simple truths. Jim did at times. I do. You do. Everybody sins. That's a simple truth. And it's a problem. Because anyone and everyone who would come to the Father, who would have as their destination heaven, glory, can't have sin on his record. We want to live with the Father. We want to live in heaven. Heaven is glorious, being with the Father. We read already, there's no sorrow there. There's no sickness. There's no Parkinson's. There's no death. It's because there is no sin in heaven. Now, that was a problem for Jim. It's a problem for me. It's a problem for you, for every human. We sin a lot. We were born in sin. We add our own personal sins to that. Again, that's a simple truth. It's because of sin that no one can come to the Father, can get to heaven and glory by ourselves or with any other human. There's only one other place, too, that is the final destination of man. Other than heaven, other than coming to the Father, that other place, that's hell. That's the simple truth, the horrifying truth. But there's another simple truth. It's found in the verse we're focusing on. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Sin keeps us from coming to the Father, going to heaven, except for one thing, one person, except for Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven. Jesus is God himself, the Son of God, God the Son. Jesus came to open the way to the Father. And he did this by perfectly obeying the Father. Even all the way to willingly, voluntarily suffering and dying as a sacrifice for the sins of others. Jesus didn't stay dead. On the third day, it's been longer than 3 days that Jim's been dead, but Jesus, on the third day, he rose from the dead. And those are simple truths. They really happen. Jesus opened the way to the Father. But Jesus said something more. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's not as though Jesus opened a way and now we can just walk into heaven on our own or with someone else's help here, whether a beloved wife or family or friends. It's not what Jim found. It's not how Jim lived. Jesus himself is the way. Jesus is himself righteousness and life and truth. And so Jesus himself is the way. But now maybe you're saying, well, now things aren't so simple anymore. They still are. Because it's through simply by God's grace and trusting yourself to Jesus that you come to the Father. Living by faith in Jesus is walking the way to the Father. Resting and relying upon Jesus is how you get to heaven, to glory. Jesus takes to glory all those who trust in him. When Jim breathed his last, he didn't have to do anything. Christ took him to glory. It's that simple. Jesus takes to glory all those who trust in him. Not family, not friends, not religion, not hunting or outdoors, not pleasure, not work, not fishing, not fun. Jesus. Jesus alone. He's the way, the truth, the life. That's the simple truth. By God's grace, Jim trusted in Jesus. By God's grace, Jim entrusted himself to Jesus. And so God credited Christ's righteousness to Jim. He forgave all Jim's sins. He gave Jim peace and joy while in this life, while he mourned Ruth's death, even while he struggled with Parkinson's. All that came with it. It's a simple truth that sustained Jim. It was Christ. And now we're comforted, we who are believers, that Jim is with the Father. He's come to his Father with his death here. He's no longer with us. So Jim's body is here, yes. And his body will be here till the end of time. His soul is in glory with Jesus, with the Father. He's free from sin, from sorrow. He simply awaits the day when this body, his body, will be raised from the dead. That's another simple truth. Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus comes again, Jesus will raise every dead body by the power of God. And Jim and Ruth, Phil, others, will be whole. Body and soul. Jim and Ruth and everyone who belongs to Jesus will enter into the Father's glorious presence forever. The new heavens, the new earth. Here's another simple truth, though. Again, we've mentioned something before. I have to say it again, though. On that future judgment day, when all the dead are raised, those who did not believe in Jesus, who do not belong to Jesus, they will be judged. And they will suffer forever for the sins they did away from the Father. So we lay Jim's body to rest today. Dear friend, do you know these simple, straightforward truths? Are you trusting in Jesus? If not, you're in grave danger. But if you are trusting in Jesus, you're blessed. You have nothing to fear from death or life. That's what Jim had. Don't go home today without it too. By God's grace, always trust in Jesus. He is the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But through him, believer, you come to the Father, and you're blessed. And in that simple truth, that hope, be encouraged and live. Amen. Revelation 14, verse 13 says this, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Rest in peace, brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. He did what we could not and would not do, obey you perfectly, and offer himself as a sacrifice for sin, and rise from the dead victorious, defeating death. We have heard much from your word this morning. Such comfort. Such wonderful truth. Lord, would you work in our hearts a true and living faith every day to trust in Jesus, to lay hold of Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. We have no other Savior. We need no other Savior. So have us come to you. Lord, we pray, comfort us in our grief. Thank you that Jim is with you. Thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you take the Psalter hymnal songbooks, different songbook, and we're going to sing number 469, "By the Sea of Crystal." And here we'll stand, those who are able, stand and sing all three stanzas, number 469.
On behalf of the Weaver family, thank you all for your attendance here with them today. In just a moment, you'll be dismissed, and after you are dismissed, all of you are invited to join together in the gymnasium for a time of fellowship and lunch. There's a stairway off to your right as you leave the sanctuary. There's also an elevator available if you should need one. But the family would very much appreciate you staying around for that lunch and enjoying that fellowship with them. The family will be gathering privately later this afternoon for the graveside service. And again, we do thank you for coming. Just remain seated until you're dismissed. Thank you.